Funny thing about Mika, what he does now, from Perk Bays until really the end, is this seems to be like a rehash of like everything that goes on in all the Nevi'im beforehand. I mean, he's going to go through like how the B'nai Yisrael did something wrong and how they're, and then he's going to go through Mashiach. And it's really like there's going to be something that's going to be almost exactly like Yeshaya. We'll see. Perk Bays plus Gadol says, Hoi, Hoshe Avinu Po'alei Ra, woe to the people who think about sins all day long and they only do evil. Amish Kavosam on their beds. The Ora Boker Yasua. When the morning is light, they go ahead and they do it. Kiyesh Lael Yadam, because the power is in their own hands to do it. You know what the pshat is over here? These guys are thinking of plots and plans on their beds at night. All they're thinking about is like, what I can do, how I can do this, will I be able to accomplish that, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, they wake up in the morning and they're like, done. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do it right now. They're like rearing to go, ready to go in order to be able to do it. So there's some people who like think about these plots and plans and they wake up in the morning and they're like, eh, whatever. These guys are like raring to go. Not only do they think about it, they actually go ahead and do it. And no one is going to stop them. They already consider it as if it's done. It's po'alei ra al mishkavosam. They're already doing the evil when they're on their bed. It's as if they're like, there's nothing being held back. They're not holding back whatsoever. And this is the pshat. Normally, machshava is not mitzorfa l'maisa. I mean, we don't consider an evil thought to be considered like a maisa. You didn't do anything evil, right? You didn't do anything like that. But if your machshava is like, I permit this, it's acceptable, and I can't even think of anything bad about it, then it's not like you're being punished for it. It's that you're on such a low level, you don't deserve to be on a higher level. You don't deserve to be good. And that's the pshat behind it. A lot of these people are thinking that it's referring to people who deny reward and punishment, says the Mi'am Lo'ez, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to go through their plans because these guys are denying everything out there. But Chamdu Sados, so what do? They desire fields, because all, so they steal it. Who bought them in houses, and they seized them, right? The Ashku gather, they oppress men, Ubeso, as well as their, or of their house, the Isher Nachalaso, other men of their inheritances. They go ahead and they seize it, they go ahead and they lend them money when they know they're not going to be able to pay them back, and then grab the fields and say like, well, you couldn't pay it back, I'm going to go ahead and take this and whatever it is.
It's an
uh-huh, 100%.
It's one of those I'll say that we say.
Giving them bad eitza, right? To be able to say like, oh, you should sell that house, whatever. And this is really what happened with Neville and Achav, where Achav didn't lend him money or anything, but Achav basically seized the land to Jezebel to be able to go through. Like in Kol Hashem, in Yehoshua and Mishpacha as those raw, I'm going to think badly about this Mishpacha, in which you will never be able to remove your necks. In others, you won't be able to get yourself out of this evil. Silku Roma, you will never be able to walk upright ever again. It's going to be a time of absolute evil. There's no way to be able to go. Pshat is, in peaceful times, it's relatively easy to be able to get yourself out of evil, right? But once the punishment is there, it's going to be bad. Here's the pshat. There's a story about a certain man that he put his eyes upon a friend's house that was not far off from his place of work. He devised a plan. He loaned his friend a large sum of money with the house as a collateral. When the borrower found himself unable to pay the debt, the other man acquired the house. Sometime later, the new owner invited people to celebrate the new home. He would recite the customary psukim and affix them at the entrance, right? As a good simon, he arranged that the ceremony be held in the morning. So the man had, in fact, transgressed this commandment of lo sachmod. Rav Avraham Palagi therefore said to him, you are the person that we're talking about over here, the person that says, do you think about it at night on your bed, and in the morning, you go ahead and you do what you want to do, right? That's what he said over here, and it's referring to this. All right, that's that. Vayomahu. He sounded like a mushroom. No, on that day, one's going to take up a mushroom. They're going to use you as a parable as to what they want to use. It's going to be an utter wailing. We are totally destroyed. All of our portions of people are going to be exchanged. How it's all been removed from me and everything's been taken away from me and our fields have been given out to other people completely. And that's because of our veras, right? And that's the idea behind it. In the end, right, everything you did to grab that field that you really wanted from that other guy, I mean, in the end, what happens? That fear took everything everywhere. You lost everything everywhere. Anyway, so what difference does that make? You didn't gain anything. Therefore, you're not going to have anyone who, this is a weird wording over here, you won't have anybody who throws the rope in the goral of the Kal Hashem. In other words, you're going to have no chance to survive, to be part of the whole, the part of Kal Yisrael. In other words, you won't have a portion in where all of B'nai Yisrael is. Right? they preached, they called out loud and said, you should not preach to us. They will not talk about these things. They will not take any shame whatsoever. So the people that are refusing to listen to the Nevi'im are calling out to the Nevi'im and said, just don't talk to us about this. You guys are making your own preaches, right? You're saying your own things, and you're telling us not to be able to say, well, we're not going to listen to you. That's not going to happen over here, right? But what we will do is we'll stop talking to you. You don't want us to preach to you because you're not going to listen? Fine, we won't talk to you. We'll talk to everybody else, though. It says, Ha'amur Beis Yaakov HaKatzer Ruach Hashem. The house of Yaakov, right, will say, they're going to say, HaKatzer Ruach Hashem. It seems like the Ruach of Hashem is shortened. In Elam HaLolav. It seems like God is doing all these things. Holy Devarai Yitivu in the Yashra Olech. But you don't understand. My words are good to the people who act in Yashrus and does in the right way. So in other words, you're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the power, is not doing what he's supposed to do, etc. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything that's supposed to happen. You're just not seeing it. The Esmul Ami Le'oyev. My people, yesterday, the Le'oyev Yekomein, they rose up as an enemy, Mimul Salma, opposite you, right? Salma Eder Tafshit, when they took off the beauty of the clothing, Me'ovrim Betach, from those who are running by with surety, Shuvei Melchama, like people that are returning from war. So the pshat is like this, just like yesterday.
Euphemisms.
So you did the whole thing, right? Yesterday, all my people were hostile to their weak and poor people that they were so used to, right? But they oppressed, they did everything there. It's going to happen right back to them. Yesterday, you were willing to be my chosen people, but now, you're a people that's rising up like an enemy against me. And therefore, I had to destroy you. There was no choice. I couldn't let you keep going in the way that you were. You kept going in the wrong direction. Nisheyami, the wives of my nation, Tigorshun, mi beis tanugel, you cast them out from their pleasant houses. Me'al ololeha, right? From all of their infants, tikhu hadari la'olam, you're going to take away my glory forever. So this is the idea. This is not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se. It's referring to the violence that they were doing to the poor. They're throwing out the woman from their houses. They're killing their husbands, grabbing their property, and throwing the woman out completely and taking it all there. You're causing them to sit and languish and distress without any homes, without any husband, nobody able to take them. Because I'll also say that it's possible that the people that lent the money to these women, you know, they lent them money and they gave them whatever it was, they would defile them. And then afterward grab them and use them for their own needs and then give them back to their husbands. He said, listen, you owe me $100,000, so give me your wife, and then that'll be mochel, the $100,000 to you. And that's what these people were doing, and obviously that's disgusting. And they went ahead. But aside from that, it could be something a little bit more obvious, aside from the obvious evil that's around here. There were chashados that they were doing. They were going into these people's houses when the husband wasn't home in order to grab pledges, something that they could do in order to take money away from them. So they were grabbing as much as they could, robbing them, and casting suspicions on his wife. Because people are like, oh, what's he doing there? Wait, the wife is home. What's this guy doing here? So that's what they were doing over there. That becomes suspicious. And because the people come home, the husbands come home, and they say, wait, were you with that guy? She said, no. The guy walked into the house, grabbed stuff, and left. He thinks, well, you must have been together with that guy. And the husband then divorces his wife over here. Of course, there is a medrash over here. A young Talmidei Chachamim is what we're referring to over here. But the young Talmidei Chachamim are going to be taken away from their Bati Medrash and not going to be able to learn. And that's the terrible thing over here. That's you took them away from the base Medrash, and that's why it was so terrible. Get up and go. This is not the resting place. Because it's been Tameh. In other words, the Avodah Zarah that you're doing is that. Therefore, terrible things are going to happen. The ropes will be ruined and destroyed completely. The amount of Avodah Zarah and all the oppression that's happened in this place has made it an impossible place to live. If a man was walking among the wind and all the falsehoods over there, and he went and he talked to you about the wine and drink, That would be the ultimate preacher. You know what the ultimate preacher is? The guy who gets up in front of the people and says, guys, God told me it's time to drink. That's the guy that everybody wants to be as their real prophet. Asof asof Yaakov. I'm going to assemble all of you, Yaakov. Kulach kabeza kabeza. I will gather all of you. Sheri Yisrael, the remnants of Yisrael. Yachan asimenu kitzom batzro. I'm going to put you together like a flock in their pasture. Either besokhi davro. Like the whole flock together, right? Besokh hadavroi. Within their area, team Meneme Adam, they will be noisy from all the people that are there. Now, some say that this is a reference to the very end, right? That I'm going to gather you together. It's going to be the kibbutz gullius, and everybody's going to come back. Others say that this is going to be the enemy gathering the people together in order to kill them together in one place. And that's the reference over here, obviously a sadder type line. Ola poritz l'tneim. And I guess that makes more sense because we are talking about evil and then going through over here. Ola poritz l'tneim. A breach goes out in front of them. Portu, they have broken in by Avoru, and they passed through the Shar, the gate, the Yitzubo, and they've gone out through it as well. The king goes on, and Hashem is at their head. Now, it's possible that, again, that we're referring to something which is destructive. The parrots, the porates, the break over here is referring to the enemies coming into Yerushalayim. By Avraham Malkum Lefem refers to Tzidkiyah running out and getting out of all Yerushalayim. Hashem Barosham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with them, even in goats. On the other hand, the word parrots is like the sun parrot that Yehuda had. Remember Yehuda had those two kids with Tamar, parrots and Zerach? So parrots might be a line for the Mashiach, the future Mashiach that's going to break through the bonds and the gates that they have over there. He's going to go through the gate that others have gone through, in other words, the gate of Yerushalayim. The Melech will be in front of them with that Kadosh Baruch on top of the Melech's head, that this is a reference to Mashiach itself.
Mari says, by Ola HaPoretz Hashem, Melech HaMashiach Sheporetz Kol Mosefah.
And that makes sense, right? Everything's there. Now, there is a funny one over here with the Melech Poretz Geder that he's supposed to break the fence. The literal translation is that the king is the ability to do whatever he wants. If the king wants to make a hole in the wall, he'll make a hole in the wall. But if you understand, Eichitz was once walking with one of the kings. I don't know if it was Portugal, whoever it was. He was from Altona. So it could have been Amsterdam. I don't know. It could have been Amsterdam. It could have been anywhere around there. But he's walking together with the king. And the king said, they say that a chacham is adif minavi, that a chacham is greater than a prophet. He said, well, you're a chacham. So tell me, which door am I going to go to when I come up to the following city? I'm about to go into a city. There's a big door in the front. There's a door in the back. What door am I going to go through? So if you understand, Eichitz says, can I write it down? King said, you can write it down. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper and he put it in his pocket. King comes up to the city and he comes up to the front door and he's about to walk through with all this pomp and splendor, etc. And he's like, wait. Innocent Eichitz for sure thinks that I'm going to go through the front door, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go through the back. He's about to go through the back and he's like, wait. But Innocent Eichitz for sure figured out that I was going to go through the back. In order to do it, well, I'll fool him. I'm going to go through the front. He's about to go through the run. He's like, wait. Because I just for sure thought that I was going to... So he didn't know what to do, right? So he sat there, and he's like, got it. He goes ahead and takes a battering ram, makes a brand new door to the middle of the city through the wall, goes in through that door, goes and sits down on his throne wherever it is, sits down, looks over Yonasan Akshus, says, let's see what you got. So he pulled it out. He said, a melech poreh together la'atzmo. It's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the second parak. The king can make a gather for himself. And the king has the ability to do anything he wants. Now, that's the pashup shot. This is learned from Yehuda. What are Yehuda do in the beginning of Vayigash? Vayigash, they love Yehuda. He broke through the door to go see Yosef to try to talk to him about Binyamin. That's what he was willing to do over here. Some say there are going to be two kibbutz gullies. So the first kibbutz gullies is going to happen with Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, that he's going to bring back the special people from outside of Eretz Yisrael. And there's going to be a second kibbutz gullies that will happen later on. We don't know what that means exactly. And to be honest with you, this is not an exact science. It's possible there's going to be one kibbutz gullies that will all be explained in one way. It's possible it's a different way. I don't know. But that's the end of Parak Beis. Let's look at Parak Gimel. Va'oyimar. Shimon of Rosh Yaakov, listen, O heads of Yaakov, Uktzine Beisrael, and the officers of Beisrael, Halo Lacham Ladas the Mishpat. All of you should know judgment, because there are so many things that people have done wrong. There are so many people that have done wrong thing over here. This divine justice, this idea of Midas Adin that's going to judge them at the end of days, is going to be something that obviously will apply to everybody, and not everybody in the same way. Some people are going to be judged a lot harsher than other people because of the expectations that a Kadosh Baruch Hu had for them in the first place. Other people will be judged according to what's going to be. Either way, in exile, they're not going to lose. They are going to lose, I'm sorry, their national identity. The idea of what they are as a people. They're going to remain as Jews, but they're not going to really know where they're supposed to be. Eventually, those individuals are going to come back, and they're going to be known as the people that are ready to get judged. Sone tov o'ave ra. You hate good, you love evil. Evil. Gozle o'ram me'aleihem. They steal the skin from upon them, she'eram me'alatzmosam, and the flesh from off their bones. This obviously is still referring to taking from the poor, grabbing from the poor things that they wanted for themselves. Asher aklu she'erami, when they eat the flesh of my nation, but o'ram me'aleihem, and they take their skin from on them. They strip the skin off them. They crack their bones, uporsu, right, and they spread them apart, kasher batsir, as if it's for the pot, like meat inside a cauldron. Over here, this is also referring to the wrongdoing of the people. Again, referring to how they would eat, so to speak, the poor people that were there. Obviously, it's not literal. We're not talking about cannibals over here. We're talking about people that literally knocked them down and destroyed them completely. But you know who's going to cry out? Those poor people are going to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, I know some. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to answer them. The Aster Panamim, he's going to turn his face away from them by Zia Dakan, Kasher Reum Alulayim, because of the evil they have done with their deeds. There's going to be things that they're going to have to go through, right? But because they didn't listen to the cries of the poor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen to their cries, and bad things are going to happen to them. Kol Hashem Alanavim, Amasim Asami, and then Hashem spoke to the prophets that fooled my nation, that led them astray. Hanoshkom Bishineim, who bite with their teeth, in other words, tell them very sharp things, or Karu Shalom, and then they call out peace. They launch war against anybody who doesn't do exactly what they want to do. Here's what the Nevi'im were like back then. The Nevi'im went ahead and took advantage of everything they possibly could. They had a chance to make money, they went ahead and they made money. Those are the false Nevi'im that were out there. They're willing to say anything they needed, but in the backside, they'd be like, oh, but we're just peaceful men, that's all we're trying to do. Well, on the other hand, they were really working for like a mob type structure and killing people that needed to be done, and telling people information, whatever information they need to know. Those were the false prophets that were there. Therefore, it will be night for you because of the visions that you pretended to see. It's too dark for you to be able to do your magics. The sun will set on those prophets. The day will end. No longer will they be believed to be these prophets that they claim to be. They're going to be all these visionaries are all going to be embarrassed. All the diviners will be completely confused. They're all going to cover up their lips. Why? Because they don't hear any response from God. They're not going to have anything left. They're not even going to see the false prophecies, let alone real prophecies. They're not going to know anything whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fool them into thinking certain visions which are not true whatsoever. They're going to look at the sun and the stars. They're going to say, oh, this is what's going to happen. They'll tell the people, and then nothing like it happens at all. They're just going to be fooled completely. Yeah, I've been looking for 2 weeks from now. There's a vacation that we're taking, right? And I was looking at the, during the break here in Yeshiva. So I've been looking at the weather, right? Of what it's going to be like every single day. It's something totally different. I'm not yelling at them completely. But we're talking like it goes from thunderstorms to sunny to rain. That's what I mean. That it's going to be so impossible to be able to prophesy that every day they're going to be like, no, this is what I meant. No, this is what I meant. And then eventually nobody will listen to them anymore. But I am filled with power with the Ruach of Hashem, said Micha. You like this little line of here? But me? No, I'm good. I'm good. You don't have to worry about me. I've got everything taken care of. I also have judgment and I have strength. So I can tell Yaakov their sins will be strong and everything that they might have done wrong. I am not going to lose this power, says Micha. I'm going to be able to prophesy and everything I say is going to come true. Shimon is also Shimu Nazos, Rosh Beis Yaakov. Listen to this. All heads of Beis Yaakov, Ksini Beis Yisrael, and the officers of Beis Yisrael. Hamis Avim Mishpat, who despise all of Mishpat, that's Kol Yisrael Yakeshu, and they pervert everything which is upright and way. All those people, listen to me, all those people out there. Bona Tzion B'damim, they have built up Tzion through blood. Through blood. Yerushalayim Ba'avla, and Yerushalayim through their sins. Rasha B'shochad Yishpotu, all of the heads take bribes in order to judge. Kohanim B'mechir Yoru, and the Kohanim, they make judgments or they paskin for a price. Or to be at the Kasim Yixomu. And the prophets, if you go out and give them money, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. And they all claim that that they're relying on Hashem. Alo Hashem b'kribenu. God's with us. Full stuff aleinu aro. Nothing bad is going to be with us. That's what the leaders say. That's what the Kohanim are saying. That's what the Nevi'im are saying. They're all perfectly fine. Some say this refers to specifically Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, that he never thought that anything bad could ever happen. Pasuk Yud Beis Lachem Biglalchem Sion Sadeh Techoresh. Because of you, Sion will be plowed into a field. Yerushalayim Entiyeh. Yerushalayim will be a ruin, a heap of rubble. The Harabais of Bamos Yor. And Harabais will turn into a bumma of a porous, as if there's nothing else there. Yerushalayim will entirely disappear, as if it wasn't there in the first place. All because of these false prophets. We've all done makos. So I'm assuming that we're all going to remember this pasuk from their makos. You ever done makos?
No.
Did you hear this? You get there soon enough. Rabbi Leo, Rabbi Osman Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were on the road together, and they heard the metropolis of Rome from far away, from a very far away distance, right? They began to weep. But yeah, Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. They said to him, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? He said, listen, these guys are idol worshippers, and they're doing all this terrible stuff, and yet still, right, we shouldn't cry. He said, that's why I'm laughing, right? If this is going to be the scar for such people who transgress God's will, what do you think is going to be the scar for the people that are with God's will? The other time,
they didn't learn from the first time, or I don't know which one of these stories came first, but
that one came first. Then afterward, they're on their way to Yerushalayim. Afterward, they're going to Yerushalayim. As they reached Haritzopim, right around that area, right, they saw the destroyed city of Yerushalayim and everything out there, and they tore their clothing. When they came to the Temple Mount, they saw a fox coming out from the Kodesh HaKadosh. Right? They started to weep, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. Why are you laughing? Why are you crying? He said, like over here, it's written about the place that the Zor HaKarev you must. If the Zor comes close, you're going to die. Right? Yet the foxes are sitting over here. Right? How can we not cry over what's happening? He said, that's why I laughed. He says, I'm going to have witnesses based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, which we said earlier. There's Uriah, right, and Zechariah, the son of Yevarachiah. What are they doing next to each other? Uriah lived during the time of the first base mitzvah. Zechariah lived during the time of the second base mitzvah. And the pshat is that the fulfillment of one is going to be the other. Uriah's prophecy is this pasuk. This was not from Micha. Lachem biglauchem. Sion sadeh techoresh v'yushalayim entiyeh. The harabai is the bamos yor. This was the prophecy of Uriah, quoted by Micha, said Rabbi Akiva. So when he said that, Zechariah said, don't worry, there will be old men and young women that are all living in all of Yerushalayim. They're going to be there. As long as the prophecy had not been fulfilled, I thought maybe Zechariah won't be fulfilled. Now that he sees that Uriah is fulfilled, I know that Zechariah will come true as well. He said, Akiva nechamtanu, Akiva nechamtanu. That's what he said over there. So other people ask, what do you mean? How do we know this from Uriah? It sounds like it's straight up from Micha. How do we know? So the idea is, the content of his prophecy was only inferred from the fact that the princes wanted to kill him, as they wanted to kill Yirmiyah for what had happened. They said to Chizkiyahu, let this man be put to death. Micha, right, spoke of retribution, right, and he was not killed. Since Uriah spoke the same, it's as if we learn from Micha that Uriah himself was saved by his prophecy. So it's a little crazy bit of a line. This is not a direct quote from Uriah. This is Micha's line. We're attributing Micha's nevuah to Uriah, because Uriah said it earlier, and Uriah was saved based on that. That's one answer that happened over here. Another answer is that the prophecy of Micha was nullified because everybody had done tshuva. So therefore, whatever Micha said did not actually come true. But Uriah's, which was an even more powerful one, that did come true. And because that came true, we're using this as the start, but unfortunately it never ended up happening, and then we brought it on a little bit different. Okay, either way, but that's one way of understanding it over there.
What is the actual meaning of Harabaya, the Bama Ya'ar? Because right now it's not desolate.
No, not now. But before the Arabs came, it was desolate and became almost a forested area.
But that,
those trees that you can still see beyond the wall,
right,
that took over the entire area.
But is that line just one point in time, or does it mean that it's going to be...
I hear what you're saying. Let's assume it's at least at one point in time. Is it entirely? I don't know. But at least one point in time, this is what's going to happen in that area. And maybe for longer, depending on how you treat it. It's possible it could be for longer. All right, let's be turned down. Look what it says right here. Hayabakrisayomim will be at the end of days. That the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house will be established on the top of all of the mountains. Right? The Nisahu Mikvos. It's going to be higher than all the hills. When Aralav Amim and all the nations will go to it. Now, Harabayis is going to grow taller, grow bigger, higher than it is today. Even though Harabayis right now is not that much taller than any of the mountains around it. In fact, it's not even taller than the mountains around it. It will be at the end of days. And at that point, that's when Mashiach comes. Now, all the nations will run into Yerushalayim and go to the Beis HaMikdash. They'll try to, at least. They'll try to be there. Many nations will come. Let's go up to the mountain of God. To the house of the God of Jacob. They'll teach us of his ways. And we'll go in the paths. Because from Zion comes out the Torah, and the word of God comes out from Yerushalayim. This is where it comes from. So we're going to say that over here, all of that enlightenment will come straight from there. They'll realize that something is going to come from this area. Even Yaakov, even the heel, the people that everybody looked down upon, they're now going to look up upon. They're going to say, this is the guy that we want to be like. These are the nations that we want to go through. That's the concept over here. V'shapat mein amim rabin, God will judge between the many peoples, v'ochiach l'goyim atzumin, and he will give muster to even the strong nations, in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah at the very, very beginning. That's what it says there. Ad rachoik, and also to the nations that are very far. V'chitzu korvoseim le'itim, they will then cut down their swords and make them into plowshares. V'chanisayim le'mazmeros, and they'll take their spears and make them into different, whatever it is, pruning hooks. V'yizu goyo goy charev, v'yizu goyo od melchamot. No longer will nations fight each other with war, right? And they will no longer teach each other the art of war. This is literally a take from Yeshaya, what it talks in Yeshaya and Parak Beis, taking out from over there what's going to be that by the times of Mashiach and how it's going to be over here. No longer will things be settled by the sword. It won't happen that way. Instead, people will talk to one another. The Yashu Ishtak has got to, everybody will sit underneath their grape. I'm talking to and under their fig. The Ein Macharid, nobody will be afraid to keep Yashem to focus. There's going to be so much food, so much availability for everybody. Nobody's going to be afraid that somebody's going to take it from them. They'll just sit under there without any weapons, without anything. People will come by and they'll be like, hey, do you want one? They'll say to the people walking by, and the people walking by will say, no, I'm already stuffed. Thank you so much. For all the hefkers out in the street. For although all the people walk now in the name of their gods, you know, with their own God in their lips, but from that point on, we will all walk in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever and ever, and that's what's going to be over here. Next idea. It's strange why we have a certain schus over the other nations, right? It seems strange, right? What's pshat? We also have idol worshippers. We have a lot of people that worship a lot of idols. What's our schus that we're able to survive? How are we supposed to do it? So, a man married a woman who had sons from her first husband. He fed her, and he fed her sons from the very best of the possessions that he had and gave her a lot of good stuff, and everything's right there. But then he saw that the woman wasn't treating him correctly, and the kids weren't treating her correctly. Being their benefactor, giving them everything they wanted, you'd think that they would have treated him a little bit better, but the wife wouldn't, and the kids wouldn't. They wouldn't do it. But he said, if I fight with her, if I fight with my wife, what's going to happen? Right? My whole house is going to be filled with conflict. It's going to be filled with all these types of issues, right? Instead, I'm going to act with kindness. I'm going to shower them with good things. I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to make it be like Hanukkah every single day. We'll see what happens. But it became so bad that one day the wife wronged him so badly, right, that he said, you know what? I can't take it anymore. So he decided to divorce her, right? And that's that. The woman sent a message that she would like to reconcile with the husband, right? But the husband said, absolutely not. So a friend of this guy came up to him and said, listen, I also have an evil wife, but I don't want to divorce her. So why should you divorce your wife? He said, you don't understand. You're not divorcing your wife because you have kids from that wife. I don't have kids from this wife. These are kids from a previous marriage. So I don't have anything tying me together with this woman who treated me so evilly the entire time. Right? That's the idea behind it. So I had sons, and I liked them. But now that they're all treating me evil, and they're treating me as if I was never their father in the first place, I'm not their father. So here's the pshat. The pshat is that the other nations never fully, they were never HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kids. They were people that God created, so to speak, took care of, and would take care of whatever it was. But he has no problem with divorcing the wife and the kids that are not really his. But he does have a problem with divorcing his wife, who he had kids with, meaning with Klal Yisrael itself. That's the idea behind it. The idea is that Klal Yisrael is not inclined to do evil. They just have, well, I shouldn't say inclined. It's not inherent that they do evil, but they're inclined to do it. They are inherent that there's evil within them, right? Those people that do it, it's there. Can non-Jews be good people? Of course they can. Those people are saved. But the people that are inherently evil and keep going, they're idol worshippers from their youth and they can't get out of it, those people I'm not going to save. Those are the women with the children that don't treat God properly. Even in the end, when they come back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, but we want to reconcile, the mashal is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu won't do it. Bayomahu, Yom Hashem, Osfat Soleya, Nahanidocha. I will gather together the lame, in other words, the people that are not ready to move themselves in. Nahanidocha, and those that are outcast. Akabeta, I'm going to gather them together. Basher Hareyosi. Not only that, but even the people that I did evil to. Because I'll tell us, it's a Gemara Brachos, Ada. Very good.
I was really impressed.
I'm holding.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I thought it was Lamed or Lamed Gimel. I couldn't remember. Lamed Beis Manal. It says over there, there are three psukim. Now, without them, all bad Jews would be destroyed. One of them is Sheri Yosef. God is blaming himself. I did it. I did the evil. I caused it. Right? And therefore, they should be saved. There's two others. Vasirosi Leva Evan. Then I gave them a Leva Evan. I have to remove it myself because it's my fault. I had it. I forgot what the second one is. It's an obvious one, though. The Stampias of Tulelish Eretz. I'm going to make the lame one a remnant for Klal Yisrael, but now halal, and those that are cast off, but go yatsu, I'm going to make them a strong nation of Molech Hashem Aleim, and God will be a king upon them. Behar Tzion, be'ato, be'ado, you won't. Plus the chas, be'ato, migdal later in you. The tower of all the flock, and others, the tower of all of David Melech. Ophel Bastion, the stronghold of the daughter of Tzion. Odecho Teiseh, it will come to you. All of this is going to come to you. Uvol Memshola Rishonim Amlechus Labas Yerushalayim. And all that power, that rulership, the kingdom will come to the daughter of Yerushalayim. Everything is going to be given over to you. Nothing is going to be hidden back whatsoever. Mashiach is going to come in and everything is going to be awesome. Why do you do evil, O friend of the king? There is nothing else left to do. Has all of your counselors been gone? You've been seized. It seems like you're sitting there as a woman who's trying to give birth and you're in so much pain. You seem like you're afraid of things that have not happened yet. It seems like you're worried about pains of nothing. Little things that are not there. Huliva gochi bastion. You writhe and moan, O daughter of Zion. Kayoleda, like a woman giving birth. Kiata teiti mikirya. Because right now, you go out from the city, v'shachant basoda, and you live, you dwell in the fields. Uvasad bavel sham, right? Sham tinefeli. When you come to bavel, there you're going to be saved. Sham yigalecha, sham yikapo egoyech. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you, right, from the hand of your enemy itself. In other words, I guess it's going to be that when you go to bavel, it's not going to be a terrible situation for you. It's going to be better for you because you're going to thrive there and do better there. Now, of course, there was intermarriage there, so that didn't happen as well as a Kushbalka plan, but nonetheless, they didn't die. They weren't killed. Yeah.
They flourished.
Yeah, they did flourish. There's no question about that whatsoever until they eventually came back. The crazy thing is that he says, Vos ad Babel. That's amazing. Micho was living 150 years before the Beit Midrash was destroyed. There is no reason to think that Babel would be the city that they would go to, the country that they would go to. But he says straight out, they're going the bubble. But now many nations have gathered against you. They say, let her be found guilty. Our eyes look upon Zion. The question is whether or not that's referring to right then or if it's referring to the future when referring to Gog and Magog. That they come about and they do stuff that we have. They do not know the thoughts of Hashem. They don't realize what he really wants. He keeps in Ka'amir Gorno because he gathered them together as one gathers the sheaves to the threshing floor. God is getting all those nations together, the ones that want to destroy the Jews, in order to destroy them like you destroy wheat on the threshing floor. Stamp on them and destroy them completely. Kumi v'doishi v'atzion. Get up and thresh, daughter of Zion. Ki karnech osim barzel. Because I'm going going to make your horns into iron, the horns that you use to gore the other nations. And your hooves are going to make like copper. By the kois amim rabim, you are going to crush, smash many of these nations. Acharanti lahashem, and I will devote them straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beat them, the chelam, all of their wealth and all of their everything they have. La'adon kol ha'aretz, the master of the entire earth. And that's what's going to happen over there. In your exile, while you're in Golos, your strength is diminished. But now it's going to be so much better, and everything's going to work out well. Tatzis, go to Nibas Gedud. Therefore, gather your troops together, old, big troops. Matzor sum aleinu. You're going to go ahead and lay. There's a siege that's against us. Bashevet Yaakov alechi es shofet Yisrael. They will strike the judge of Bnei Yisrael on the cheek with a rod. That's the idea behind it. Some say, again, this leader is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. Others say it's referring to Zerubbabel. There's going to be little punishments that are waiting for them. Right? The idea is that this is what Bnei Yisrael's enemies may have said, even though they weren't able to accomplish it. Others say that it really is. It's Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef will be destroyed from what the enemies are going to do to her. Either way, that's what's going to happen in those days. Gather them all together and get ready for what's going to happen. All right, one parakeh. I don't know how much we'll be able to do. Let's see if we can finish this off.
15 minutes.
Okay, so let's do what we can do over here. Now, Beis Lechem Ephrasa is obviously, we're referring to Dovid HaMelech, because Dovid HaMelech was from Beis Lechem, right? Ephrat, around that area as well. Sorry, Leo Salviuda, what?
He was from
Beis Lechem. Well, that's why Christians claim that Yashka, who is from Bethlehem, is their leader. They took Beis Lechem for themselves. He's supposed to be from Beis Lechem, but really, Dovid HaMelech is from Beis Lechem. That's the point. Dovid HaMelech Yishai was born in Beis Lechem. Sawyer Leos Baal Yehuda, you are the youngest of the thousands of Yehuda, Mimchali Yetzei, and yet from you will come one to me. Leos Moshe Beisol will be the ruler of Amnei Yisrael, Motsa Oysa Mikenem Mimei Olam. His origins will come out from ancient time, from the days of old. So some say that we learn from this passage that the name of Mashiach has been proclaimed from the beginning of time. That name is already proclaimed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knows it. He has not given it to us yet. Rabbi Yannai says, it's Yino, because that was his name. Debei Shilo said, it's Shila. Chizkiah says, it's Chizkiah. They all said that it might be their own name. Meaning there's a special name that was already defined to be able to say it, and if they're the ones who are the Mashiach themselves.
Nah,
Menachem is also Rabbi Menachem. I think it was Rabbi Tanchuma who said Menachem. But they all say their own name. They all say their own name. It's all mentioned in the Sanhedrin Sadi Zion. Yeah, what's up?
So, Mimcha lo Yetze?
Mimcha. From you, meaning from Yehuda, lead to me, Yetze, he will come out. In other words, he's going to start working for me. That's where Dovid HaMelech will come out.
I become that ruler of Israel, Lachain.
Pasuk Beis says, Lachain, Yitnem, Ades Yoleda. Therefore, give them until a time for them to give birth. Yolada, to give birth. Yetzer Achav. The rest of his brother, Yeshuvan al B'nai Yisrael. The return back to B'nai Yisrael. Meaning, this is now talking about Ikvas and Mashiach. The same way that at the very, very end, there's going to be evil governments, there's going to be bad things happening, daughters will get up against their mothers, there's going to be Me'ador Kibnei Kalim, we're going to be like dogs. All the different admonishments that are mentioned by the Gemara and Sanhedrin about what's going to happen at the end of days, that's going to come true, and it's going to be very, very, very difficult of what's going to happen at that time. Okay, so what happens at that point? Oh, he goes through a whole thing over here. That you're considered as small as a mini straw, right? Sorry, Leo's mouth, Yehuda. Some say that it is a reference to Mahlon and Chilion. Well, Mahlon and Chilion? They were the two people who married?
Oh, who married what?
Rus and Orpah. And Rus is where Dovid HaMelech comes. From them came through. Now, Mahlon and Chilion could have caused there to be great things. They were both very, very great men. They were from Yehuda. They could have caused great things to happen in Klai, so they could have been the progenitors of Mashiach. But they weren't sure if they should marry Rus and Orpah or not. So they just did what they wanted to do, and then they went on, not realizing that they could have been the fathers of all of Klai Yisrael's Malchus. They didn't do it. That was the problem with Mahlon and Kiryon. Puzzle game over. Amad Barah Ba'uz Hashem. So he will stand and he will shepherd the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see clearly over here? You see that? Boaz?
That's not.
It's a remnant. That's the remnants. We're talking about Machlon and Kilion over here, and the remnants comes over here into this. I forgot what Machlon and Kilion are referenced to over here. It was something for them. I forgot where it is. It says it over here somewhere. Yeah, but that's what they say. That this alludes to Boaz. Right. In the midst, he will stand a shepherd by the strength of the Lord, refers to Boaz. But where did it say that it was Machlon and Kilion? I don't remember what it says over here. Okay. Anyway, Yashavu Kiato, was that Va'amava, the Rob, Oyuz Hashem, Big Oyuz Shem Hashem, through the pride, the majesty, the power of the Shem Hashem Elokot, the Yashavu, and they will dwell secure. Kiato, you can go out of here. All right. They're going to go so great, they're going to go to the ends of the world. Va'yuz Hashalom, and then there will be peace. Ashur, Kiyavobertin, when Ashur comes into our land, the Chiyidor, Vamanotenu, when they tread upon our palaces, Dakemonu, Aleinu, Allah, Shiva, Roim, and then we will have seven shepherds, Ushmon and Nesichi Adam. And there will be eight princes that work together at that time. What I was really upset about is that he doesn't list the seven shepherds and the eight princes. Where they are written is seven shepherds mentioned in Sukkah and Nunbez. Is that it?
Nunbez, Nunbez.
Ah, there we go. Sukkah and Nunbez. The seven shepherds are.
I know.
You're right there. Zalvan Melech is right in the middle. You have Sheis, Chanoch, and Metushelach on the right hand side. Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe on the left hand side. Do not ask me. Where's Yitzchak? I have no idea. I don't know.
He's always the forgotten one.
It's strange.
He always gets skipped over.
By the way, those are the seven shepherds. Now, it is true that. Yeah, that's the shot. Shepherd-wise, we don't see the Yitzchak as a shepherd. But on that hand, we don't see that Mr. Shelach was a shepherd either. That is not written anywhere.
Okay, but possible he was, but
don't say that anywhere.
He inherited the flocks of his father.
Why? Chanoch?
No,
how do we know
Yitzchak.
That? Oh, Yitzchak. Well, he was into land. We know he was into land. We know he was into wells.
We just did in third grade, we're talking about his well digging prosperity.
I'll just say, it's weird. Now, the eight princes, there is, ready? Yishai, Shaul HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi, Amos, Spanya, Chizkiah, Eliyahu HaNavi, and Mashiach. Those are the eight princes. That's what it refers to over here, which is pretty awesome over here, but nonetheless. The role is Eretz Ashur, they're going to graze, lay waste, the land of Assyria, Vacherev, through the sword. That's Eretz Nimrod Bifsachel, and the land of Nimrod in its gates, in its opening. So Yitzil Mashur, and they will save from Assyria the people, the Jews, when he treads within our border itself. Could be that there were some Jews that they had to get out of there. I'm not sure if that's exactly pshat or if that's just an assumption that there's going to be Jews there at the end of time. The remnant of Yaakov will be in the midst of those many nations. It's going to be like dew coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, except like showers upon the grasses, which does not look, and the idea is, it's not going to look toward any man, nor do you have any hope, Libni Adam. They're not going to have any hope or trust whatsoever, meaning they won't be able to get out. These princes, these great men, are going to lay waste to everything over there. Now, he has a whole long piece over here about Tal and Geshem and the differences between them. I refer you to the first paragraph of Sinus, and for now we're going to skip all that. Pasuk Zayin. So, Asher is Yaakov Begoyim, Bekarav Amim Rabim. The remnant of Yaakov among the nations will be in the midst of many nations. Now, the other nations will be around there. We're going to be like the lion with all the animals of the forest around us. They're going to be scared to death of us. Kara Ravat Kari, said Bilam. We lie down like a lion. That's how strong we are. And that's how Yehuda is referenced to. Kikfir Badre Son, like a young lion, like a young whelp, they call it. I don't have that whelp. Do you guys have whelp in English? I'd love to say it. It says whelp, I'll be so happy. What did it say? Young lion?
Beast.
Ah,
what about you?
The lion's whelp.
Well, it says it. Anyway, among the flocks of sheep, Ashrim Ava Varomas Vatarav Ematzil. If it goes and it's Romas Vatarav, meaning tears apart or grabs the things in it once again, nobody's going to be able to save from it. That's what it's going to be like. The Aryeh is going to be in charge. The Bnei Yisrael are going to be able to do whatever they need to do. Some say it's referring to Bnei Yisrael being like this benefactor to other nations, that we're going to be like lions against others. Others say that the other nations are going to be like benefactors to us, and they're going to fight like lions on our behalf. That's a possibility as well. Either way, we're dealing with people that have the ability to influence others and stuff like that. Good stuff. Anyway, pass the cut. Tyrom Yadcha Al Sarecha, your hand will be lifted up upon your enemies, and all of your enemies will be completely cut off. There, that might of Bnei Yisrael will be evident to everybody else, and everybody's going to know, don't fight Bnei Yisrael. That's not the type of people you want to fight. North Korea would never set up a nuclear hydrogen bomb, right? If Bnei Yisrael were in charge, that's what we're trying to say over here. There's no problem with that whatsoever. Now, we say that it seems like this. It sounds like they're going to be cut off before their time, as if there's no kings whatsoever. What's the pshat? It says like this. This is in the Amoraim. Most of Bnei Yisrael will have died by this time. There won't be too many Jews left. There's going to be one branch of people of Bnei Yisrael that are going to be left over here. There are many Jews, however, that have assimilated among the other nations of the world, who are half Jewish, but are not really Jewish. Halakhically, they're not Jewish. But most of the actual Jews will be dead. There will be very few actual Jews left, and there will be others among everybody else. Those Jews among the nations who are not really Jewish will lead a rebellion against those who treated them so harshly. Those are the lions. The lions are the non-Jews who think they're Jewish and have shaykhis to Jews, but are not actually Jews. They're going to attack with suddenness and fierceness and save the remnants of the Jews from everybody else. Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
And not from the non-Jewish will save the actual Jews themselves. That's what's going to happen over here. They're going to tear apart the nations.
That's why we're sending them on birthright.
No, I think not Jewish at all. That's what we're referring to. They'll save everybody who's left. Whoever's left. We don't know what's going to be over there. It's scary. That's really, really scary. At that point, Chazal say, there will be a Tchias HaMeisim for Sennacherib and Nebuchadnezzar. They'll come back and they'll run the nations against the Jews that are going, and it will be a massive war at the end of the day. Therefore, you have a Sisoni and an Oyev that are going against. On that day, says God, I will cut off all of your horses from amongst you. I will destroy your chariots. All of your tanks, all of your planes will be completely destroyed. You'll be left with nothing else whatsoever. The war, therefore, will be conducted in a very miraculous way. There will be no need for any tanks, no planes, nothing. You will win the war anyway. I will cut off all the cities of your land. And I will demolish all the strongholds that go through. That's what I'm going to do at that time. Everything's going to be up. All you'll have left are open cities. I'll take away all the kshapin, and you'll no longer have any soothsayers. You won't be able to ask them, well, what's going to be in the future? They won't be able to tell you. You won't be able to ask, what's going on in the stars? They can't tell you. They won't be able to tell the future like they once did. I'm going to get rid of all your idols, as well as your pillars, the little places where you used to sacrifice to your idols. You will no longer bow down to anything that you made with your hand. Then I will destroy all the Asherahs amongst you. And I will still destroy your cities, referring to the idols that are in the cities themselves. That's referred to. And no more. They're not going to be around whatsoever. There is a subtle interpretation, though, referring to bad judges. Judges that judge badly, whatever it is. Some say it's referring to bad Kohanim Gadolim, then I'll cut them off completely. Regardless, that's the idea that they're going to be going. I will do it with anger and fury. I will take vengeance upon the nations that do not listen whatsoever, and that's what's going to happen at the end of the day. There's going to be an unprecedented vengeance that goes up against the other nations. Kodesh Baruch says, I will take care of it from that point on, so you don't have to worry. That's what's going to be. Oi. Looks like we're going to have to end with this. Alright, shkayach everybody. We should be able to finish. There's only two more prakim and micha, Vav and Zion. We'll have to finish Vav and Zion next week.